It's May 16th, and this is the, I guess we'd call it the spring nutrition counseling roundtable call. There looks like six or seven of you on the call now, and since some of you may not have been on these calls before, let me just give you a little bit of background. I'm Molly Kellogg, and I'm sure you know that because you've been getting my emails, and that's why you called in. We do this about every 3 or 4 months, and it's a informal gathering, not structured webinar or anything, CEUs for it. The overall topics are decided by the people on the call. It's a matter of sort of bringing up concerns you may have about the process of interacting with your clients, what's working well and what isn't working. So while most people bring up challenges, it's great when people bring up cool stuff that's happening because I think that helps boost other people up. As each time, if you have noise in your background and you know that that's going to be an issue and you just want to listen in, you can mute your phone either on your phone or by doing 4-star. If you do 4-star, that'll mute you, but you can still listen. And another option is for you to mute if there's going to be some noise for a while or you're going to be eating lunch or something. And then you can do 4-star again, and you'll be back on, and everyone can hear you. So, more people
checking. Am I muted?
No, you're not.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Got 10 or so, a little smaller number than we usually do, which is fine. We have more chances to chat and. At some point, I may mention some of the upcoming trainings I have, but let's just jump in. I'm curious whether anyone on the call has any cool, exciting things to share, either resources they'd like to share with people or neat MI counseling skills that they've just used recently that had a good result. Anybody have anything positive to share?
Actually, I do.
Okay, and who's this?
My name is Sarah. I'm in Maine.
Oh, well, Maine. Sarah. So
Thanks.
It's noon where you are. And
yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah. So I, one of my biggest challenges with motivational interviewing is I tend to jump in a little too early. And last week, I managed to use some silence, and I waited, and more things came from my client than she had initially been willing to share. So it worked.
Mm-hmm. It worked. Congratulations for putting yourself out on that limb, and you're pleased with the result.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I know I need to, but it can be, you know, it can be hard as I'm learning how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I'll blather on for another minute or two, and then we'll open the floor for whatever else is here. I do want to mention the motivational interviewing trainings that I have scheduled for the rest of this year. I was just in L.A. A couple weeks ago with a wonderful group hosted by the Breath Life Eating Disorders Center in West Hollywood, wonderful group of dietitians there.
Wow.
And I'm going to be in Chicago, June 22nd and 23rd. Rush Hospital is my host. And the deadline for registering for that is next Friday. I'll be in Denver. Metro State is my host in downtown Denver on September 21st and 22nd.
Sarah from Maine.
Yeah. I think someone's speaking, and they may think that they're muted. Okay. And then I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 5th and 6th, hosted by a college. I can't remember the name of it. And then I'll be doing, with two other colleagues, a internal family systems training in Memphis, Tennessee, November 30th to December 1st, a two-day training. So, who would like to jump in with questions, concerns, challenges about nutrition counseling or and or motivational interviewing?
So I don't know if this counts, but I've had
– Oh, it probably will. And your name?
Heather. This is Heather.
Oh, this is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hey, so I'm curious what people are doing when people are interested in signing up for an appointment. You know, I do the whole 15-minute, you know, just, and I wouldn't say consult, but just, you know, for initial meeting over the phone to make sure it's what they want. And for the most part, I feel like I've been getting better in terms of qualifying people, making sure they're going to be a right fit. But I feel like the last month or so I've had more cancellations prior to the initial assessment, and I'm just trying to understand why. I feel like maybe I could even do some better qualifying leading up to it to make sure. I get the feeling that they were very motivated and really into it, and as the date got closer, they were like, never mind. I'm not ready. And so I'm just trying to figure out, like, what are people saying or doing prior to getting the appointment in order to make sure that they're really ready and that, you know, it's going to be worth, you know, just even putting it into the system and getting, you know, obviously expecting that you're going to, you know, see someone.
Oh, good question, Heather. I'm curious to hear what ideas people have from their experience. Someone else just joined us. We have a question on the table about how to handle initial phone contacts to make it most likely that the person will actually show up for the appointment that they scheduled. Did I get that right, Heather? Yeah. What ideas do you guys have? What seems to help? Is a quiet group. I'll toss one thing out. I don't think I necessarily have more ideas than anyone else. People who have been in practice for a while have probably fine-tuned what they do. I have to say, Heather, I've gotten really good at sensing hesitation and naming it on the phone. I think you're probably right. There are plenty of people who are enthusiastic when you're on the phone with them, but then something comes up later, and that's why they don't show up. But I've gotten if I hear any hesitation, I'll sort of name that. I'll say, I hear you're a little ambivalent about this. You're not really sure. I'd be glad to just hold on to this information about you, and you can give me a call back when you're ready to schedule. Rather than sort of pushing them to schedule something. That's just one thought.
Okay.
I
definitely, I think maybe my newness is coming in because sometimes they really seem motivated and they're ready. And part of what I see is a sign is when they fill out their intake forms, they almost always show up. And when they don't fill out intake forms beforehand, if it's 1 or 2 days before and they still haven't filled it out, I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. So, I probably need to kind of go through this a few more times to be able to sense hesitation.
Yeah. And are you also giving them a reminder, phone call, or email, or text, or something?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're doing that. I generally don't, but that can make a difference.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think mm-hmm. about, like, how would you go about, I think one thing I've seen come up a few times that I just need to remember to do is people come back, and I think it's a really easy way to blame their spouse. So someone will say, like, oh, I've talked to my husband, and we've decided to wait. And so I've started to think about when I'm on the call asking them, like, have you discussed this with your spouse, and are they supportive? Like, does that seem a fair approach? I mean, I'm trying to ask, basically, I want to start asking, like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like I want to say, how likely are you to cancel? What's going to help? What's going to make you change your mind? Like, is there anything that's going to change your mind between now and then? And if so, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be, and that's a classically MI-worded question. And, you know, Heather, it makes sense to me that you might want to experiment with that and see how it goes. I frankly don't know whether that would be helpful or not. It might be.
Okay.
Particularly possibly for people who are like, oh, yeah, oh, absolutely, and sound really gung-ho, because chances are you're only hearing from a part of that person, the part that got them on the phone with you, you know, the one
right.
that's pushing them forward, and the parts of them that would come out that would keep them from actually following through are totally in the background at that point. And so a question like that would invite the person to bring in those other parts and consult with them, basically. Or it could be worth it. If there are any concerns you have about engaging with me on this, what would they be? Which is even more open-ended. But,
yeah.
Interesting questions, Heather. Yeah. Any other ideas for Heather about how to handle this? Anything to experiment with?
When I do, this is Sarah again. When I do that initial phone call, one of the questions I ask is if they've ever done nutrition counseling before, or if anyone had recommended it to them before this particular time. And so if I get a yes there, then we can explore a little bit of how that went and why they stopped and what didn't work for them. So if that happens to come up, it gives me a chance to sort of address their concerns and things that might be barriers. So that's one question I threw in that seems to help.
Mm-hmm. How's that sound, Heather?
Yeah, that does sound good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, notice that also gets at the what specifically do you hope for from me sort of question. I don't know if you specifically asked that one with some people, but I tend to do it somewhere in the first visit at least. What Sarah's bringing up would begin to get at that, because if what they were dissatisfied with someone else makes you think, oh, maybe I am the right one for them, or it may make you think, this isn't going to work. It'll give you more information. Yeah. Cool. Great idea. Okay, thanks for that challenge to mull over a bit. Heather, who else has a challenge or a question or anything?
This is Pam from California.
Hello, Pam.
Hi. I have a challenge. It doesn't happen all that often, but I recently had a young woman I was working with on weight management, and she had had, you know, previous attempts at weight loss and, you know, limited success, and goal that working with me would, you know, make a difference. And she had a lot of other kind of metabolic issues going on, PCOS and thyroid issues and whatnot. But my question is, how do you keep somebody motivated when it appears as if they're engaged in doing what you talked with them about, and that, you know, again, they're seemingly, you know, doing what you would expect them to do and not getting any results, and then coming in very, very disappointed. I struggle with how to bring them back to a place of positive thinking. I've tried things like focusing on other outcomes, you know, the energy, the better improvement in food choices and all that kind of stuff. But when you have somebody who gets on the scale and feels totally disappointed and shut down, like, anybody have some suggestions on how to, like, you know, keep them in a better place and try to keep the momentum going somewhat?
Tough, challenging situation. Who has any ideas for Pam? One of the questions I would have for you, Pam, is this a situation where the client actually comes back but isn't making changes, or is making changes and the outcome is not what they want?
They're making changes. My little bit of an observation with this particular client was that she's a little bit impatient, you know, and so she does something for a week or so and then doesn't get the results and then wants to go another direction. And, you know, I was working with her and just trying to be consistent and have, you know, the expectations that maybe it's going to be slower this time, and trying to do all I could to keep her engaged in that way. But does appear to be making changes and, you know, working out and keeping food records and proportioning every food and planning things out and minimizing kind of social eating out, because that's, you know, been difficult for her to manage. So, yeah, she's been making the changes that we've, you know, kind of come up with together, but no change on the scale.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask that question is I have written a tip on clients who keep coming back and haven't made any changes. And but that isn't the situation here. And indeed, it sounds like you're already doing a fair amount of talking with her about outcomes. And she, as most people do, are focusing on that one outcome, that number on the scale, and you're attempting to broaden her perspective so that she will look at a broader perspective and other outcomes. You mentioned PCOS. Of course, in that situation, simply not gaining any more weight can be a positive outcome, even though the person doesn't necessarily look at it that way.
Yeah, and I addressed that with her as well, too. You know, it's a disheartening situation because she's beautiful young girl, great career, you know, everything you know, and she's so miserable about her weight and has seen it climb up despite what you would think about of making pretty healthy choices and working out, you know, a lot. And it's, yeah, so.
And you say she's fairly young?
36.
Oh, okay. And has she had any therapy?
Psychotherapy?
Yeah.
She doesn't want to do that. And I did bring that up because she was so, you know, disappointed and emotional. And you could, you know, this weight thing is a struggle for her and has been for some time. But she refused that at this point. Didn't want to go there.
Yeah, and this is an interesting situation because it's not as if it's a client where you're thinking, oh, my God, she has to be in therapy. You know, it's not as if she has a significant eating disorder or something. And yet you know that she could benefit from it in terms of some acceptance.
Just being okay about self-acceptance and all the good things that she's doing for herself. And letting go of kind of the body image weight stuff, you know. So,
right.
But She does not appear to be there. You know, and she has an endocrinologist who just wants to suggest she go on Contrave, which I really don't want her to do because I don't think that, you know, decreasing her appetite, I don't think she eats enough at times.
Yeah,
so
that's not the issue, yeah.
Not a good idea, so.
And she's already on metformin, I guess.
She's been on metformin for a long time. She's on Wellbutrin, mm-hmm. actually, for mm-hmm. a history of, I think, some depression, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
I mean, doing a lot of, yeah, with someone like that, I would be doing a whole, you probably are already, Pam, but a lot of close reflecting what you hear. Both that she is disappointed, that this is really hard to feel like she's doing all the things she's supposed to, and the results that she wants certainly aren't appearing right away anyway, and may only appear in much smaller doses than she would really like. And that's a real bummer.
Yeah. The other thing I've been trying to do is I do try to, you know, reflect back the positives that she gives. And this is before she gets on the scale. Oh, I'm feeling great. And, you know, I did this, I did that. And we start there. And then last time she was in, I'm like, Emily, like, I don't want you to get on the scale today. I don't, you know, let's just go with how great you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I was so afraid that she was just going to go, whoo, downhill. If she didn't get results.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you also want to see that the effort that she's put in actually is giving her what, you know, that number that she wants, or at least some progress towards it. But
and she wants some reality check. She wants that kind of concrete feedback. You know, Pam, I would continue to as explicitly as you can, keep her on. There are a bunch of outcomes. There's one that she got a lot. And then there are others that she does indeed care about. Energy, probably stamina, you know, from exercise, things like that. Maybe physical strength if she's doing weight training. You know, just think of all the things and keep doing that with it. You could also offer to do blind weights if you think the seeing specific numbers are particularly hard on her. Has she considered that, or?
No, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anybody up with any other suggestions
any
before the call ends? I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Any other ideas for Pam? Okay. I'm just trying to see. It looks like we have about 12 people on the call. Who else would like to chime in with a question or concern? This is a quiet group today. Let me see if I recognize any of the area codes. I don't think I do. we don't have to have a whole hour call if I want to. Is that somebody?
Hi, Molly. This is
Dee.
I'm in California.
Hello, another California person. It's earlier in the morning for you.
Yes, it is. It's a way to start my work day. I have a challenge that I would like feedback on. In my current role, I reach out to individuals that have prediabetes, and with this population group, they're actually not coming to me, but I have to reach out to them and engage them in a program. And it's part of a health plan, so if they don't engage in the program, they will get put on a different health plan the following year, which has higher costs. So,
they're mandated, and there's a financial incentive for them to talk to you.
Okay. Yes, and all this is upfront when they choose which health plan that they want during open enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be a surprise, but I find it challenging when I reach out to convey, help them see my services and support as a positive and not like something that is a negative, because I'm finding some individuals are really appreciative and they are happy to engage with some telephonic sessions with me, but others aren't so excited because I want to try to how can I kind of present like a program in a positive way.
Yeah.
That they can kind of see that, like, value and how it actually can really help them. But I know we can't help everyone, but I mean.
Well, Jenny, let me ask you first how do you handle it?
Well, I when I speak to someone the first time, I introduce myself and let them know that I'm reaching out because I actually follow up on a letter. They get a letter first and let them know
there's
that
a letter first.
Calling. Yes. So a lot of times either they don't open the letter, so they don't know I'm going to call.
They're surprised.
Right. So I kind of introduce it with I'm following up on a letter I recently sent you. I know I'm here to we noticed that on some of your lab tests that your glucose is elevated, and it may be an indicator of higher risk for developing diabetes. Is this something that you have been monitoring? Or I kind of word it like, is I'm here to help, or is this something that you have been aware of for some time? And do you have any, you know, concerns? So I kind of open it. I kind of do different things each phone call. I'm trying to test the waters.
Right. Yeah.
And
do
yes. Go ahead, sorry.
And I'm sure you get all sorts of different responses. Everything from, oh, I was been waiting for your call. And then
not many of those.
And I'm presuming in the beginning of the call you make it clear that it's from their health insurance, that it's medical and all that you're not trying to sell them something.
Correct. Yes. I know who I'm calling from and a part of their plan and the plan that they chose.
This is the service that they're entitled to. And I'm hearing that you're wanting to then fairly quickly get to some open-ended questions from them to feel them out, to figure out where they're at.
Yes, is that the, I'm kind of thinking, is that the best kind of steps forward with this, this kind of thing?
I guess my only thought is, using as many phrases and words at your very beginning, opening, that refer to them as opposed to you. In other words, I'm calling because of your, this is your insurance and you're entitled to it and your lab results and whatever. And then maybe a little bit on, my job is to assist you, right? My job is to help you be as healthy as you can. Or what would be the kinds of things that might appeal to people to avoid future costs or hospitalizations, I don't know, you may know better than I do what would appeal to them. It's you helping them with their concerns about their health. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And I try to then lead on with asking them what are their current concerns, if they have any, about their health, their current health status. So what's important to them. And
you've already made clear it's mostly about their blood sugar.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, particularly about that. And so I kind of try to get more details of their perspective on the situation and let them know how my services and what I can do to help, you know, either prevent or delay the onset of diabetes and these things are achievable through lifestyle changes. And,
right.
I think the and I just feel that first phone call is so crucial because it really sets the scene.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I'm imagining you'll get pretty good at fairly quickly picking up whether the type of language that a particular client will do best with is the type of language that you're accustomed to, that you would use almost when talking to another health professional. Using the diagnostic terms and reducing incident risk of complications, you know, that kind of thing, or whether it's someone who will respond better to more colloquial kind of languages. I'm here to help keep you as healthy as possible, so you won't run into the problems that people have, you know, in much more sort of person-friendly language. And there are other people who you may pick up pretty quickly would be insulted by you using that language and would want you to use much more sophisticated language, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It does.
You don't want to turn them off either way.
Right. Right. But I think, you know, that's a good point of trying to maybe use a little more person-friendly language, like you said, like keep you as healthy as possible, but and kind of see where that goes. But I think it can be hard to keep motivation for me to keep, you know, reaching out where sometimes the response is a little lackluster. And then kind of with the other caller is trying to re-engage then for the next session that was set, and then either they're not there or they don't respond. So I'm leaving phone messages and then don't hear back. And it's a little.
Yeah. So it's a little like working in sales or something.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have you gotten training on working in sales?
Well, no. I'm not a good salesperson. And
Well, it's tricky because you're not actually selling any. I mean, you don't have to get them to buy something. I thought of that connection, though, because people who are good salespeople are really good at just, you know, not letting it get to them when there's 10 calls in a row that they get hung up on. You know, they just keep going for it, you know. And I'm wondering if a certain amount of, you know, practicing going, well, that person wasn't in a good place to talk to me today. Moving on to the next one.
Kind of doing that for myself. Right. And how to not take it personal and get too weighed down by it. Just kind of keep going. And
And on the other hand, you don't want to give up too easily. It occurs to me, Jenny, I don't know if this fits in your situation, but I'm imagining you may be talking with someone and they seem a little reluctant, but they haven't hung up on you yet. whether it would make sense to say, I'm wondering if I haven't called at a very good time, might we find a time that might be better for me to call you back?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, ending the call with permission to call them again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To see how that goes.
Yeah. That's a good suggestion as well.
Yeah.
Or what's sort of your experience with giving them the responsibility, like having them call, like set up a time for them to call into me?
You mean from the letter?
Yeah, or like after my initial phone call, if they said, no, it's not a great time to talk right now, and kind of asking them, you know, when would be a good time, and they would tell me and then request that they call in at that time.
Well,
kind of.
if you're wanting to do a sale with someone, it probably makes sense for you to get permission for you to call back rather than relying on them. Because then if they don't call, then what do you do?
Well, yeah, then I'd call back again.
You'd call back, but then, you know, it would be more awkward.
Kind of awkward.
Yeah, and even if when you call back you get a voice, you know, you could say, give me a call. These are tough, and, you know, Jenny, I wouldn't be at all surprised whether you're dealing with a lot of people who are in the earlier stages of change, to say the least, and therefore there are a lot of steps that they would be wanting or needing to go through, and even the little phone call that you have that it doesn't feel like it gets much of anywhere may get something going in their head, and then if you've had permission to call back even a month later or something, for people who just say, oh, I'm not interested now. If you call back a month later, you'd have the opportunity to ask, you know, if there's anything you've been thinking about since that call we had last month, what's come up for you? It gives you an opening to do some more open-ended questioning there, assuming that they have actually something's been going on in their head.
Right. That's a great idea. I think I might experiment with that.
Yeah.
I like
thinking of it as a long-term thing. Well, pre-diabetes is a long-term thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
It sounds like you're fairly new with this, and you'll eventually get the hang of it a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, also, Jenny, have you had MI training, or have you come to my workshop?
Well, I just bought your books.
Cool.
The practice workbook. And they've been really, really helpful, but I have not been to one of your trainings yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked
mm-hmm.
at them, but they haven't really worked out with my schedule
sure.
and stuff. But definitely it's something that I would want to do. Uh-huh.
Sure. I just bring that up because I would point you to the concept of rolling with resistance. The idea of even experimenting with gently reflecting back what you hear. I'm hearing you're a little ambivalent about this, or I'm hearing you're not quite sure, or you don't know if this is the right time for you. Saying that without doing it in a dismissive way, like, okay, goodbye, you know, but just sort of do a little going with what you're hearing, and then just listen to what they say, but then also possibly offer to put the call off for a few weeks or a month or whatever.
Okay.
And you might want to search out my tip on rolling with resistance.
I definitely will.
If you go on my website, I can't remember whether that's one. I don't have my alphabetical list with me. If you go on my website and look in the archives, you'll see there's an alphabetical listing of tips, and you can look under resistance. And I can't remember if it's one of the ones that's in the books or whether it's a more recent one that's in the archives.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Molly.
Okay, cool. Well, welcome, Jenny. So, any other thoughts for Jenny from anyone? And if anybody else has a challenge or anything to bring up, now's the time. Okay. Well, we have a fairly quiet group this month, and it's also a very busy time of the year with high school graduations and all sorts of things going on. So we might as well end the call at this point, and I will put this recording up for those who weren't able to make it to the call, and maybe I'll see some of you at a workshop someday. Heather, was it Dallas? Where did I meet you at my workshop?
I live in Jacksonville, but I did the Fort Lauderdale one.
Fort Lauderdale, okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember where you and I met.
Yep, we were in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. I want to say it was Nova, maybe. I can't remember. I don't remember the university that it was held at.
Yes, Nova 7, yeah.
I don't know if you want to take this offline, but I was curious about going to another one, but not this year, for next year. And I also was interested in bringing you to Jacksonville. So at what point do you start planning your 2019 schedule?
I start, what is it, May? I will start, well, I could start any time that somebody reaches out to me, but generally it's over the summer that I'm planning for next year.
All right.
And
I will be willing to entertain
that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the community would love it, and definitely Florida wants you back.
Yeah. Well, and also, Heather's been to the workshop before and would like to come back. And for those of you who, if you've been to the workshop or not, I fairly often have people return again, either a few years or many years later. I keep making the workshop better and better, so it's always a little different. But also, it just gives you a chance to look at it a little differently, having had a chance to practice the skills for a while. So it's not a bad idea to return. And I give a gigantic discount to those who want to return for the second time. So, okay, everybody. Take care, and maybe we'll talk again in about the fall. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.